You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast on Tuesday, the 6th of August, 2019. On the podcast today, I have Richard Holohan, CEO of Polarion, that's P-O-L-X, and Richard discusses enrollment progress for their Phase 3 trials and their planning in regards to submitting a new drug application to the FDA. Also on the podcast, Neil Ricketts, Chief Executive Officer of Vesarion VRS, ticker there, and Neil talks about their LOI with global apparel manufacturer and how their transport infrastructure technology preview event went. And as always, I have two lists for you. The top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours and the top five most liked RNSs. By the way, you can see top 10 versions of both these lists at voxmarkets.co.uk. We'll see a host of other content. There's a Q&A with Hervé Deligny, who's Chief Financial Officer of SafeStay. Our video there with Abraham and Hervé. There's also an article on Boohoo. They made an offer to buy Karen Millen and Coast. There's also an article on Blue Rock Diamonds, plus lots more at voxmarkets.co.uk.
Want to keep up to date with all the companies in your portfolio? On the free Vox Markets app, you can create multiple watch lists and get instant news alerts about any company you follow. Find out more at voxmarkets.co.uk/app.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Richard Holohan, CEO of Polarion. That's P-O-L-X, ticker. Richard, thanks for joining me.
Thank you. Good to be with you, Justin.
Yeah, you've had a bit of news out. You talked about enrollment for your Phase 3 clinical trials, and you've also recently done a fundraiser, which is good as well. And we'll dig into a bit of that and how it's all going. Before we do, Richard, as always, if someone's listening to this podcast and they haven't heard you previously on before, can you just summarize what Polarion is all about, please?
I can. So Polarion is what the regulatory agencies call a drug-device combination. And by that, we mean we have a drug, which in this case happens to be the inert noble gas xenon, which we have a product that hyperpolarizes the xenon. That means it aligns all of its molecules, creating an MR contrast agent for use in the world's install base of MRI systems to help pulmonary docs evaluate the function of the lungs.
Yeah, and so one of the things that stood out to me is that it can enhance MRIs for scan, traditional MRIs, by about 100,000 times. Is that right?
Yeah, this is one of those great stories of physics, and in fact it is. It's a 1 × 10^5 enhancement in the signal level of hyperpolarized xenon. You can see xenon without hyperpolarization at a very low level. Xenon, of course, is in the air that you breathe. But when using our system, using our product, which involves lasers and magnetic fields and a bunch of great gear inside, we're able to excite the xenon and align the spin of the molecules. And of course, that's what creates the signal in an MRI scanner. And the patient breathes it in. 8 seconds later, we have this fantastic image that lights the patient's lungs up like a Christmas tree, revealing in three dimensions all of the things that pulmonary docs were never able to see in lungs before.
Yeah, so at the moment, like I say, you are in phase 3 clinical trials, and you're in the middle of, but towards the end of enrollment. And I think you have 98% in lung transplant pathway and 75% of patients in lung lobe resection pathway. And you've got to get to a total of 80 patients. So when are you hoping to complete the enrollment then, Richard?
Yep. So we just added our good friends at the University of Cincinnati to the trial specifically for the purpose of speeding completion of the lobe resection pathway of our trial. Two pathways, lung transplant and lobe resection, are required in a non-inferiority head-to-head trial. And so we're just accelerating them towards the finish line here, expecting to be done with enrollment in that pathway by the end of September.
Excellent, sir. And after full enrollment and the patients have been tested, how long after that are you hoping to get a readout?
Yeah. So in our trial, remember our trial is imaging based. So in this trial, all the image data in an anonymized and randomized way go in these large secure databases independently, one for each indication, because these things are done separately. And then we have contracted professional radiologists who will read out the trial. And that data then goes to the biostatisticians to do all the computation. The sum of the time required to do those things post-lockdown on the database is something like 4 to 6 weeks.
Oh, because it's quite short. So, and it's worth just digging into the trial, because phase 3 trials still, when we're comparing to drugs and stuff, are still quite risky. But with yours, it's a lot different, isn't it? You've got, you are going against another machine, so it's machine against machine, and the other machine you're going against is like 40-year-old technology, and it's harmful as well. Is that correct?
Yes, yeah. So if the theory of the regulatory framework is and we use these words very literally and specifically. So the requirement here is to demonstrate non-inferiority, right? That's a specific term in the regulatory lexicon. And the technology that we are competing against, we're competing against only because it's approved, right? So it is in clinical use, it's out there, it is a standard, and so our burden is to prove non-inferiority. It is a 40-year-old technology. It happens to be a nuclear medicine technology. So nuclear medicine is the field of medical imaging where patients are either injected or, in this case, inhale a radioactive contrast agent. So that is the case here. This is a clinical trial versus a radiation-using technique. And so it's also old enough that it's two-dimensional natively. So we were required to take our wonderful, natively three-dimensional technology and make it behave as though it were two-dimensional so that we could compete head-to-head. If you remember the beginning of our story, we actually ran and reported, well, there's an RNS out on this, a pilot study at one of the two sites just to prove the theory of this and our own calculations about how this would all turn out. And that pilot trial, that pilot study went very well. We're very happy with the results and proved to us that we had a basis to to initiate the real clinical trials and run them through to conclusion. So we're anxious to be complete here.
Yeah, I suppose the difference is, like, when I've looked at other companies that have gone through phase three, normally, like, it's a drug device, it's machine against machine. Now, the unpredictability of humans are such that you test a drug on one human, it can react differently to the same drug on a different human. But this is a difference here. You are testing machines, so pretty much, I suppose. So that's quite standard, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, the beauty of this is not double blind. There's no placebos. And because xenon simply enters and exits the body, we are not evaluating the physiological response of the body to a drug. We're simply imaging a contrast agent. And so from that point of view, we avoid many of the effects that you spoke about, where the metabolic processes of the human body vary between age groups, between sexes, between races, between ethnic origins. I mean, there are, and all of the combinatorial permutations of those things, which make drug trials so difficult, and which is also part of the reason why they're so large, right? Drug trials are quite large usually because of all of those variabilities. So ours, pretty straightforward. 80 patients, 2 sites, 2 indications.
Yeah.
There you have it.
And you must feel quite confident because a recent fundraise, I think you put into almost close to £80,000 of your own money. So you must be quite confident there.
Well, I came along in the IPO. I've come along since. I hold the stock. I believe in the company. It's hard to stand up in front of investors at symposiums suggesting that people invest if you're not willing to do the same. So yes, I did come along in this financing.
Yeah, but you'd be surprised. I mean, CEOs do that though. They tell everyone else to invest and don't have any skin in the game. So I think you can't do that genuinely, you know. So it's nice to see you do that. So so we got a big milestone coming up very soon. Then let's assume it's successful. What's the next step then, Richard? I mean, for FDA approval.
So the classic model here is you run the trial, you get the readout, and then if you're happy with the readout, then you spend the money to create the new drug application, the NDA, and then you submit it, then you file it, right? I think based on our confidence level in the outcome of the trial itself, we've actually already begun work on the new drug application. So we're working in parallel to accelerate the time required post readout before submission. So after submission, then you're into the waiting and review period with the FDA. That could be anywhere between 10 to 12 months for us, because we're submitting the drug component of our drug device combination, and it will be a new chemical entity, NCE, then that gives the FDA a little bit more time to do the review. Another 60 days typically. So we're expecting about 12 months post-submission to commercial launch.
Yeah, absolutely. And then it's worth, I mean, for people not knowing, what's the market like here? Because I saw a figure like, isn't it in the US they spend about $150 billion looking after patients in this area alone?
Yes, yeah. So if you haven't had a chance to see the video from the investor symposium, I think that's worth a little bit of time. You may want to speed through sections of it. But the point of it all is that the introduction of CT and MR imaging to medicine essentially revolutionized medicine and patient care, with the exception of pulmonary medicine. Because if you walk in most pulmonary medicine departments, you see mostly spirometers. You don't see much in the way of medical imaging, because CT and MR systems are simply not that helpful for evaluating lung function. You can do a little bit of anatomical imaging. There's a little bit of X-ray work for looking for pneumonia. But in terms of assessing function, not much really. So we intend to fix that. We intend to put pulmonary medicine on an equal footing with all the rest of its colleagues. And in that regard, the fact that in the U.S., the healthcare delivery system spends $150 billion annually trying to take care of these patients without imaging, I think we see a huge opportunity to just improve that in every possible direction. I mean, if you work in business or industry, you know that the fundamental principle of quality is measurement, right? Mm-hmm. Right now, pulmonary medicine has a very difficult time measuring anything, and we're going to bring quantitative analysis to pulmonary medicine. And I think that gives us just a great opportunity to address and help patients and doctors figure all this out better.
And it's worth saying that, I mean, you're saying there that this could almost revolutionise this section of medical, the medical field. But, so why hasn't, what's the competition? Why hasn't anyone else come up with this?
Yeah, well, it's hard to put it bluntly. The science of this in a laboratory kind of way was partially understood for some period of time. There were many academic centers who lashed up a polarizer and proved that they could hyperpolarize a noble gas. The problem was they were doing it at the level of 10% or so. So that means that they would put the gas in the machine, excite it with a laser, but not very well, not very much. And the consequence of that is that the patient would have had to inhale over a liter of gas to get the same kind of images that we're getting today. Our polarizer is polarizing in excess of 50%, which means that the patient only needs to inhale 250 milliliters of gas, and the scan takes 8 seconds. So I think we've essentially took an interesting scientific idea and reduced it to medical practice. Now, in doing that, of course, we wind up holding a patent portfolio with 33 of the most important patents associated with all this. And I think it's also true that going through the FDA process will wind up granting us a market exclusivity on the drug post that. So I think we, in the meanwhile of solving the physics, we've kind of also solved the business problem as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Marvelous stuff. Okay, one final thing then. Richard, or three final things. If someone's listening, likes the sound of this, but are not yet following the story, please give them three quick reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page on Vox Markets and add you to their watch list, please.
I will. So the first thing is we're close to market in a disruptive technology in medicine having to do with pulmonary medicine. And as important as that, we are both calling and making our milestones as we go along here. The second thing is, if you look at our investor register, you would see that most of the executive staff and insiders are holders of the stock. We have a good-sized strategic investor invested in our company and on our board. And then finally, anyone who has an extended family member knows that pulmonary medicine struggles with patient care. And so we face what we believe is simply a large unmet need.
Marvelous stuff, Richard. Good to chat to you. Hopefully, we'll be catching up in the not too distant future. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your time, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Neil Ricketts, CEO of Vasarion, the VRS ticker. Neil, thanks for joining me.
Good morning, Justin. Always a pleasure to speak to you, even if it is rainy day in Birmingham.
Yes, I was surprised by that, because down in the south here, it's quite nice as yet. Maybe it's coming south. Who knows? Maybe you're ahead of us, or maybe... do we have any rain? No, who knows? Who knows? But fingers crossed, it's still nice here. Cool. Okay, well, listen, we've got some... Since I've been away for a couple of weeks, and we haven't chatted for over a month, we've got a couple of RNSs worth digging into. Before we do that, as always, Neil, if someone is listening to this podcast for the first time, I'm thinking Vasarion, that's an odd name. What's it all about?
So Vasarion is a materials company set up 2011, floated on 2013 to exploit some of the great technology we've got in UK universities and turn them into commercial products. And that's what we're busily doing with the big thing, which is graphene.
And what is the name? I've never asked you sort of thing. Vasarion, where does it come from?
Name was made up. So when you start a company, the first thing you always look for is something that has a unique name and a unique domain. So if you've got the website domain, you're doing well. Sorry, it got a bit noisy there for a second.
That's all right. No worries. Okay. Good stuff. All right, well, let's go into the news. Go back to 24th of July. You did a transport infrastructure technology preview event. Now, that's happened now. So, of course, we got the benefits of asking sort of how it went. So, first of all, what were you doing there? We'll get into how it went in a bit, but what were you doing?
Yeah, so one of our big collaborators, big global company, has got to the stage now where they've taken our material, they've put it into, you know, various testing, that's passed, and now they've got to the stage where they've actually created a demonstrator, and they invited the company to come along. We thought we would share that. The event took place on a live railway track, and what we were able to do was to take a selection of our shareholders along and actually see this technology actually being used in the real world. Still got a little bit of testing to do because there's a lot of safety implications for this particular application, but we're well through that process now, and to be honest, looking at the weather today, it's all about weather testing and making sure that it's a safe structure for its intention. So,
what was the actual thing? Can you see?
We can't actually say because it's covered under an NDA, but there'll be some news very shortly which will be able to highlight that. This was a kind of preview, closed access event just for the company that we managed to extend to a certain number of our shareholders, and all the news will be out in the very near future. So it's being driven by our customer, very high profile. It's had a few news stories in the past, and I'm sure our shareholders will be able to work out exactly what's going on, but it will all become clear in the next few weeks anyway.
Okay, and you say the prototype under evaluation used a 3D printed polymer structure constructed using your high purity low defect graphene enhanced polymer technology, and it's designed to increase tensile strength and thermal protection, enabling the viable 3D printing of large scale transport infrastructure components. I see. Okay, cool. But it went, everyone was quite happy there with that, were they?
Absolutely. Shareholders over the moon. The company went at length to explain the kind of application and the obvious potential for this type of technology to really change society. It's something that you'll see on a day-to-day basis. You know, this is really this technology coming out of the laboratory and turning into a real life product, you know, and it's a big construction infrastructure project, and it's very, very high priority. And we're delighted to be part of it.
Yeah, and how does revenue for you work from that? If this gets rolled out by them, how does that work for you? Is it just you supplying the stuff or what? How is that?
So the first stage is that there'll be a development. So this will be used in action on a particular part of this infrastructure project, and then we're hoping that it'll get rolled out across the whole thing. And then we're hoping that it'll get pushed out globally, which is why, you know, working in China and working in the US and in other parts of the Far East is so important to have a base, so that we can supply this single collaborator with this kind of pivotal moment as the technology moves from being a clever idea to actually being something that's being used in anger in a proper engineering application, rather than something that's kind of a bit fashionable. This product, you know, benefits significantly from using our material and our technologies in being able to use that material in this application.
But as far as if that does happen, then the payments, how does that work out? Is it just because you supply graphene to them? Is it just to charge the graphene, or do you get some kind of intellectual property or rights fee as well? Or how does that work? Fee?
The intellectual property is shared between us, and in this particular case, it's we actually take our graphene materials and we mix them in with the polymer that they're using, and then we supply the polymer in quite big volume to the customer, which is an ideal application for us. So we don't get a royalty or anything in this particular case, but we do get to control the supply chain. So we would hope to get further up that supply chain as and when we can, you know, by making strategic investments and M&A and so on.
Marvellous stuff. Okay, and on the 26th of July, you announced a letter of intent with a global apparel manufacturer. This is someone you've had an agreement with before, isn't it?
Yeah, we've done all the testing now. Testing, you know, you're always a bit worried that, you know, you can have a great material, but, you know, how is it actually going to work in an application, especially in an application that you weren't ever really anticipating? Good news is we've got a significant number of tests that the materials passed. customers over the moon. And now, you know, we're working with, you know, a number of the large sports goods manufacturers to kind of roll this technology out as quickly as we can. So again, you know, this is a pivotal moment where we see the technology moving out of what we're doing and onto the TV screens in this particular case with high performance textiles.
Yeah. And this is ink, isn't it?
This is an ink. So this is some of the technology that came out of Cambridge University. So we've got the stuff coming out of our relationship with the University of Manchester being used in the construction projects, structural projects. And then we've got the other product which comes out of the University of Cambridge being used in this textile application. And so we've got this portfolio of products. As a management team, you know, we've been through the whole one product in one sector thing, and it just doesn't work. It's too risky. And so what we have is multiple products across multiple sectors with multiple customers, which means that for a shareholder, and I'm still the largest shareholder, it's a relatively de-risked proposition compared to being reliant on one customer in one sector with one product.
Yeah, absolutely. Marvellous stuff. Okay, Neil, as always, if someone's listening to this the first time and they like the sound of this but are not yet following the story, give them those three quick reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page and add you to their watch list, please.
So the first thing is that we have superior connections and contacts both with central government, Innovate UK, the University of Manchester, the University of Cambridge, which are all centre points for this graphene revolution. Our newly appointed Prime Minister was on about the other week. The second thing is that we have a fantastic product which is now being tested and starting to be rolled out in real life applications, real engineering benefits to be had from using this material in everything from textiles to construction. And the third thing is that I'm the largest shareholder, and I look forward to seeing all of our shareholders on the 24th of September at our AGM, which is being held in Gloucester. And so one of the big advantages for this is not only has the CEO got a lot of skin in the game, but we also communicate freely with our shareholders.
Yeah, and looking at the prelims, it seems you have a decent amount of cash to crack on with.
Yeah, a huge amount of cash in our China deal, which is planned, you know, to be complete by the AGM, is still on track. Can't guarantee anything, unfortunately, but the guys are working hard at it over the summer holidays, and I'm delighted with their progress. So a really, really good start to the after summer holiday break, I think.
Yeah, marvellous stuff. Neil, good to chat to you, and no doubt we'll be catching up in the not-too-distant future. Thanks very much.
Thanks very much, Justin.
OK, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are at five, Safestay, S-S-T-Y. At four, Polarian. In fact, just had them on, Richard, P-O-L-X. At three, it's Bidstack Group, B-I-D-S. At two, it's Iconic Labs, I-C-O-N, down 23% a day. And number one most followed company on Vox Markets is Emotion Group. It's I-M-M-O. Okay, top five most liked RNSs are as follows. At five, Jubilee Metals Group, 6 monthly operations update. At four, GlaxoSmithKline, EU approval for Nucala self-administration. At three, Union Jack Oil, West Newton A2 update. Number two, Iconic Labs, acquisition and financing. And number one, most liked RNS came from Gulf's Keystone Petroleum. That's Shaken Payment Update. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.